Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 277. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. It's good. Just another day closer to baseball being back. So we've got bad jerseys, but spring weather and spring training. So that is exciting. Even if the jerseys are not, they look like it came from overseas. It looks like those cheap jerseys that you buy off of AliExpress or DHgate or something.
that is true. A lot of those are bad. Who was the one pitcher that was like endorsing it, but in a way where like, all right, somebody wrote that for you because they pay you money, which I think it was a pitcher, a fairly big name. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I saw the quote and I'm like, there's no way that he like came up with that himself.
Yeah.
Like, it feels so great on my skin. It was some Nike. Yeah. I was like, dude, okay.
Come on, dude.
There's nothing legitimate about that quote. It's funny. We're in the middle of the best shape of their life year season. He went the drive line, but at the same time, all these random injuries already popping up, hitting Baltimore really hard with, you know, the Bradish one, Gunner. Obviously, hopefully Gunner's is minor. Bradish is the big one there. You know, Basalo, it's a lot of injuries already popping up here. And we're just getting started. It's going to be a fun next, 6 weeks or so leading up to opening day. But we're going to talk some more breakout prospects here today. We did the hitting version of this last episode on Wednesday. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. Give you 10 fun names at various spots in our rankings. And we're doing the same kind of breakdown today. We will do one each from inside our top 100, two each inside our top 200, and then two more outside of that top 200, 250 range or so. So we'll give you 10 more names to target that we think are going to rise up rankings this season. But before we get into all of that fun stuff, the usual housekeeping, you find us on Twitter, RotoClegg, AirCross04, Toolshed Pod. Please drop that 5-star rating and review. We greatly appreciate those. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us. And of course, check out all the great stuff going on over at RotoBaller. Again, use that code TOOLSHED to get 10% off any premium package. Obviously, baseball is the one you're probably looking at right now, but if you want to do it for basketball, football, whatever you're looking for from RotoBaller, they have the tools, the content to help you succeed in all of your leagues. So check out rotoballer.com. So let's start with our inside our top 100 pick here. And Chris, you're going to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I am. It's funny that everybody is completely dogpiles on their development, especially with pitchers. But I actually don't think that is the case at all. I've watched a lot of their arms just really blossom, and I get Greensboro guys down here. So see a lot of them, and I've seen significant progress from a lot of arms in the system, including this guy, Bubba Chandler, who I'm taking, who I pushed way up into the top 100 after seeing him multiple times this year. And it was a mixed bag of results, actually, both times that I did see him. But the stuff is just so dang good. And the second time he was in town, actually, I'm sitting with a pretty high up guy from the Dodgers organization who's out here scouting him. And I'm like asking if he's ever seen Bubba Chandler. And he says, no. And I was like, well, you're in for a treat, because he's got really good stuff. Like, he's a potential stud. And that first inning, Chandler commanded nothing. It was all over the place. It was pretty interesting, but the stuff just plays so good. We're talking about a high-end athlete with Bubba Chandler. He was a two-way player, and he was a two-sport athlete at that. He was committed to Clemson, played quarterback, also shortstop and pitcher on the baseball field. So when he was drafted, obviously gave up football, but he did not give up playing shortstop for his first two pro seasons right after the draft in this first full season. And then finally, this year, he settled on pitching only. And I think that was really the benefactor to him ultimately taking that step forward. So you look at the two halves, and the first half, Chandler posted a 6.79 ERA across 62 innings, 77 Ks. So obviously the big K stuff was there, but 38 walks. In the second half of the season, a 1.66 ERA. In over 49 innings, 51 strikeouts, and just 13 walks. 5 of the 9 earned runs he allowed in the second half came in one start. Pretty sure that was the one I saw. So that tells you what you need to know. The stuff's good. The fastball sits 97, 98 consistently. It has 20 inches of IVB regularly. Like, you can see it. But then I went up in the box and just was watching the track man for an inning on him. And it's, holy cow, this is actually spectacular. 20 inches is elite fastball number. Yep. And he's running 12 inches of horizontal movement as well. That changeup had up to 18 inches of fade, which is pretty wild. And then a slider had up to 17 inches of sweeping action. So the separation you get horizontally is rather impressive. So the stuff with Bubba Chandler is extremely good. He's just so athletic on the mound, which I love to see. And when you have the arsenal to back it up, like, it's the stuff's going to come. I think that if the command gains and strike throwing stick that we saw in the second half of 2023, then Chandler is going to fly up boards. He's going to be a tier one pitching prospect. And I don't think he's valued as such. While I know he's moved up for some, he's still not an elite pitching prospect. And I think he could get there. So that's why he is my guy in the top 100 that I am banking on fully breaking out in 2024.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh org definitely has gotten better over the last several years, for sure. I get to see some of them come through Double A, but not a lot anymore after the shift in schedules post-COVID. We don't play the other division in the Eastern League nearly as much, which is where Pittsburgh's AA affiliates in the other division of the league. So and we probably see them every other year at this point, as opposed to, you know, at least one series every year. So hopefully I've looked at the schedule to see if we face them at all, or if they come to even New Hampshire to see some of these guys. But definitely a few names in that org I'd love to have the chance to see live here. But my guy is going to be Noble Meyer, who, you know, if you ask me right now, you know, who is the best pitching prospect in baseball a year from now, I think my brain will go to Noble Meyer. There's so much to like in this profile. And obviously he landed in a great system with the Miami Marlins. They've done a lot of good things on the pitching side of things. And the talent is there for him to just truly blossom into maybe the number one pitching prospect in baseball. That's the upside we're talking about here with Meyer. He's drafted 10th overall this past June out of Jesuit High School in Oregon, which I think is the same high school as who else went there? Was it Mick? Yeah, it was Mick Abel went there as well. And he has a Mick Abel type body. Tall, he's 6'4", lanky, so has plenty of projection left on that frame. He's actually listed at 6'5", actually. And but just turned 19 about a month or so ago in mid-January. Got a little bit of action in end of the year. Made 5 starts, 11 total innings. Struck out 15. Just really getting his feet wet, so you don't really put a lot of stock into the stats there. But just looking at the stuff that Meyer possessed is, you know, right off the bat, fastball, it's already considered a plus offering. More so in the 94-95 range. Can get a couple ticks higher than that. But if he continues to fill out his frame, to add a bit of bulk, 15, 20 pounds, something like that, you're probably looking at a fastball that's probably going to sit 97 or so, and maybe even get up to, he might be flirting with triple digits at some point in his career, because this is that type of frame that you can add a bunch of production, and that doesn't always happen. Mick Abel hasn't really added a ton of bulk to his frame, a little bit, but we say that sometimes it doesn't happen. But if it does, great. If not, he already has a pretty damn good fastball. And that's not even his best pitch. His best pitch is a slider, a high spin rate slider that is an absolute bat misser. This is a pitch you could easily, not even debatable, easily put a double plus grade on. That's how good the slider is. I think it's already one of the best breaking balls in the minor leagues. He commands it very well as well. That's one of the things with, I almost said McCabe, but with that Noble Meyer, is that he's more polished than most 19-year-olds or barely 19-year-olds that you see. And I'm not saying he's Christian Scott levels of command control or anything like that, but definitely better than most of his peers that are similar in their developmental process. And that's something you got to feel pretty good about. That he already shows good feel for a three-pitch mix, as a changeup as well. That's behind the fastball and slider. But he had shown some fade, some sinks with further development. He hasn't really used it a ton, didn't really have to. When you're pumping mid-90s with that slider in high school, what else do you really need? You don't need a changeup because nobody else that you're facing can touch either of those two pitches. So I think as he gets further into the Miami org, we know they've been pretty good, especially with changeups, developing those. I have no doubt that it's going to be at bare minimum, probably at least a 50 grade offering. Maybe even gets up to the above average to add another weapon to his arsenal. Maybe he adds a cutter, sinker here and there, give another fastball variation. A lot of good stuff here with Noble Meyer. So I think, obviously, he's already ranked highly. I mean, he's probably top 100 or close to it for most people at this point. But fast forward 12 months from now, you could be talking about a top 15, top 20 overall prospect for fantasy, and maybe the number one pitching prospect in the game. Yeah, I'm trying to get as much of it. If I'm in that back into the top 10, you know, 8, 9, 10 range in FYPDs, if you haven't had yours yet, I love getting me some Noble Meyer because that return on investment is probably really high here. So he's my guy in the top 100. Now let's go to the next 100 kind of spots in our rankings, give you a couple names each from there. Chris, who's your first guy from this range?
Kind of making full circle here is we love this guy in FYPDs. And we're back. It's Chase Petty, Cincinnati Reds prospect. I love what Chase Petty has done. He went from being a like big time flamethrower in high school to like a low 90s arm last year, but with like high-end command. It was really weird. He completely changed his release height, his arm slot. He gets a lot of running life on the sinker. And the command is really good, much better than we ever really expected out of high school. That was always a concern. Like, could he command the pitches? And here he is. The slider, it's cutter-ish. It sits in the upper 80s. There's not a lot of separation on it between the current 2023 version of the fastball and then the slider. But still, I think that, well, I'll talk a little bit about the fastball currently from what I've seen this offseason, but the changeup also sits in that upper 80s velocity band. He's running 30 inches of horizontal separation between the two pitches. It makes it really tough for hitters to pick up on those pitches as well. This offseason, he's been running that fastball back up in the upper 90s. I've seen some triple digits, which is pretty impressive. And then you pair that with the results of what he did last year between high A and double A, he had a 1.72 ERA. It was just 68 innings, but still 1.72. That is rather impressive. And he didn't strike out a lot of guys, but the crazy thing is he did not allow a single home run all year. I'm just learning this, but I'm looking at the stat sheet. He did not allow a home run last season at all. Pretty dang good. He's allowed a total of 7 home runs for his entire pro career and 0 in 2023. So I think that with Petty, that fastball is sitting in the upper 90s again, and he keeps the ball in the yard, I am going to be weighing. And by the way, you talk about the bad jerseys. I'm watching a video of Petty in camp, but the Reds jerseys look atrocious. But side point, Chase Petty, I do think, is in for a major breakout. He almost cracked my top 100. Say, to have him in this range, I don't think he's as high for most people, but I do think that Petty is a really good investment right now. When you look at the overall profile, when you think about the arsenal and the fact that, yeah, he keeps the ball in the yard pretty well. So I'm a Chase Petty fan, and I think that he's going to fall into everybody's top 100 pretty soon.
Yeah, he's already there for me. So I 100%. I almost picked him. I like Noah Meyer more. Both high, I have him ranked a little bit higher now, and I think he's projected a little bit higher for me. But yeah, Petty is a guy where, remember when he was drafted, he was really raw. He was a data darling. All the upside was there. And then he really went from a thrower and learned how to be a pitcher over the last couple of years, which I think is great. Because obviously we've seen so many of these throwers that have the great stuff that just fizzle out because they don't know how to pitch and use their stuff effectively. So that he was learning how to do that. And now you're seeing him ratchet that fastball velocity back up. Obviously, with where he's going to pitch roughly half of his games, keeping the ball on the ground is very crucial. It's what's bitten Hunter Green, another great stuff guy, because of too many, you know, hard contact in the air, which has bit him a lot. So, yeah, I like Petty a lot. And, yeah, I 100% agree. He's going to be, like, universal top 100, maybe even universal top 50 by, like, midseason or so. I think that upside is there. So, definitely agree with that one. My first one here in this range, going Daniel Espino. Remember him, everybody? Former top 5 pitching prospect for some, including myself. But he's only made, I think it was 9 starts combined over the last 2 seasons. Where was it here? I get the exact number. So he made, So he made 4 in 2022. And obviously, he missed all 2023. But yeah, so 4 starts in the last 2 seasons combined. I thought he had a few more starts back in 2022. Like, he was cruising those 4 starts. He had 35 strikeouts to 4 walks and 18 in the third innings. This is one, if we're talking pure upside, pure ceiling, there aren't many names in minor league baseball on the pitching side that have a higher pure ceiling than Espino. And yeah, he is much riskier than most every other name that you'll think of in, you know, a discussion like that, because he has missed so much time, and the durability absolutely is a question mark. I think there's definitely some reliever risk here if he's not able to put these injuries behind him and start getting some real innings under his belt. He had 91 and 2/3 back in 2021, but I think this is going to be a really crucial year for him. and maybe a telling year. Is he going to be a starter? Can he hold up for a full 30 starts year in, year out? That's the question right now, because if he can, the stuff is so damn good. Like, you don't strike out 152 batters in 91 and two-thirds innings by accident, or 221 in 133 and two-thirds career innings in the minor leagues. And his strikeout rate over 133 and two-thirds innings is 40.9%. That is insane. And command and control, I think it could be average. We'll see where he's at when he comes back. The walk rate is a tick under 10%, 9.5%. You know, command has come and gone for him, but if he's able to keep that in ground average, the stuff will play. Because again, before injury, the fastball was electric, so much riding action up in the zone. The velocity was there on that pitch. And then he had two really good breaking balls, both of which missed bats at an insanely high clip. And the changeup was solid fourth offering for him that he didn't really need to go to too often because of how good those other three pitches were. And another guy that in a good pitching development organization with the Cleveland Guardians, again, it's all about the health here. Can his knees hold up? Can he make a 30 start season? Because once he does, if he comes back this year, you know, when he's back this year, and first five, six starts, if he's shoving like the Espino that we saw pre-injury, get ready for that price tag to absolutely skyrocket back up to like top 50 levels and back up to being a universal top 10 pitching prospect. Because I think people still remember in the back of their mind like how damn good he was, where he was right on par that 2021 year in K rate, top three in K rate in the minor leagues that year were him, Grayson Rodriguez, and Spencer Strider. Upside is there, so I'm trying to get him now because I think this might be the lowest his value ever is, at least moving forwards. Espino is my guy. Sticking on that Espino train until it derails, almost has a couple of times. But Chris, you're not even leaving the Cincinnati Reds for your next guy.
I'm not, and not, I was by accident. I didn't plan that by any means, but I am going with Ty Floyd of the Cincinnati Reds as well. Floyd is such a unique arm. LSU had a great season, and he especially exploded down the stretch in the College World Series. He had that 18 strikeout start in the College World Series, which was, you know, incredibly impressive. And then you just look at the whole package here, because if you look at the regular season numbers and you're like, okay, like Floyd had a 4.35 ERA across 91 innings, like not that great, but Floyd certainly paints a bigger picture of who he is as a pitching prospect. And I do think that with the right tweakage of his arsenal, that he will really soar. He used the fastball 70% of the time at LSU. And one thing to note is that in college, like the school, like a coach is calling the pitches, and there's different tendencies to watch for. And Floyd obviously had a big fastball, but going to it 70% of the time is just not something that's really sustainable, especially in the big leagues. But 20 inches of IVB, so elite IVB characteristics, we mentioned with Bubba Chandler. He's 10 inches of horizontal on it too, so it's a really tough pitch at the top of the zone, sitting 95 consistently. I do think the usage needs to drop by 20% probably to be successful. We'll see how that looks this year. I'll be watching that really closely. And obviously, when you're using the fastball 70% of the time, you're going to have smaller samples with your secondaries, but they all graded out extremely well last year. The slider and changeup were used at similar rates. Slider sitting 80, 82, had 10 inches of sweep. The changeup had set near 84, 85. It had averaged 20 inches of horizontal on it. Like, that's absolutely insane to see a changeup moving 20 inches of horizontal. That's an upper tier changeup in the major leagues. He does throw a curve in the upper 70s, but not too often. More of a downward moving pitch, but it does have some two-plane breaks, so has some sweeping action as well. All of the talent is there. The arsenal is there. he's just got to be able to land the pitches for strikes. That's really the biggest thing. And how's the arsenal reshape? Because if he stepped into my org and I was a pitching coordinator, I would 100% be reworking the arsenal, because I do think there's all the talent in the world, but just better ways to sequence those pitches. So we'll see what he looks like this year, but I am excited to watch Ty Floyd, who I am very high on already.
Yeah, this is any team. Obviously, everyone talks about all the hitting that they have, and as they should, with all that great young talent, Ellie, Noelvi, McLean, etc. But there are some sneaky good pitchers in this system. Obviously, they already got Greedon Lodolo up there, Andrew Abbott, and Connor Phillips, Ty Floyd, Chase Petty. This is some pretty fun pitching names in the Reds org as well. So they could really have a pretty good rotation here, especially if they add to it from outside the organization as well. I'm going to my team's arch rival and going to the New York Yankees. Another big projectable arm, another 19-year-old. I'm going Henry Lane here, 6'7 lefty from the New York Yankees. This is a guy that spent 3 years in rookie ball. In 2021 and 2022, he was in the DSL. This past year, came stateside. He's pitched 111 and a third innings overall so far, with pretty good results. 3.56 ERA overall and 125 strikeouts in 111 and a third innings. This past year, only had 21 and two-thirds innings, but 34 Ks to the four walks. This shows, again, a small sample size, but the upside with him is so high. And this is a guy with great stuff and good feel for it as well. Goes fastball, slider, changeup, three different velocity bands. Fastball is mid-90s. Changeup is in the mid-80s or so. So good, right around 10 miles an hour of separation there for velocity. And the slider, it's more, I'm not going to say Chris Sale slider, because Chris Sale has a very unique slider, but in terms of like the velocity, usually sliders are usually low to mid-80s, sometimes even upper 80s, or if you're DeGrom, like 93. But his is more like high 70s. It does get over 80 at times, but in terms of the velocity range on sliders, probably in the lower end of that, but really good movement on it. Gets a lot of whiffs on that pitch, really on all three. Like, these are potential for this could be all three plus offerings here that, again, he's shown a pretty good command of already. So it's really, he's probably, I'd assume maybe they put him in low A to start this year. We'll see. I can't imagine they'll have him another year in rookie ball, but he'll get up to, if he's not there on opening day, he'll be up there soon enough. And so we'll get to probably the biggest sample size of Lane that we've had so far. And I think you could really see him absolutely skyrocket up rankings here. Like, I might even be too low on him right now. I have him at around 180 right now, and I bet you you're cutting that number in half or by third, by maybe even midseason. Like, the upside is there for him to be a top 10 overall pitching prospect very soon. So yeah, right now is probably the last time you can get in at any real affordable price tag in dynasty leagues. But Chris, who is your next guy here? And you're still not leaving the National League Central right now.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yep. So now we're going a little deeper. We've got a couple names. I do have another National League Central. I've realized I have a lot of I have the same teams, but I do have one American League guy. So we'll just go ahead and take it there with Jose Corniel of the Texas Rangers, who I really became fascinated with this year. And he's one that I did get to see several times as well. And he pitched a playoff game down here in Greenville and was just spectacular. He, like, you talk about the big arms in their system, like, everybody's mind goes to Brock Porter. It goes to even Jack Leiter, maybe even Kumar Rocker. But the crazy thing is, I think that Corniel might actually be the best pitching prospect in the system. we'll see as he moves up levels this year. Probably spend some time in Double A pretty quickly, but I wouldn't be shocked if Corniel becomes the top arm in the system. You look at the profile. He was originally drafted with the Seattle Mariners, traded the Rangers in 2020. And it, at that point, like, he wasn't really anything big, but he's built on the innings every year. And then he broke out in a massive way. He had a sub-3 ERA, 2.92 this year across 101.2 innings. Most starts were in high A as well. Struck out 119, walked just 31, and he pounds strikes on, had a strike rate near 68%, which probably puts him in like the 85th percentile among all minor leaguers. Very few break 70% mark, so that's huge. Fastball, 94, 95, carry, arm side run to it, like all the traits that you want to see. Corniel has them. His sweeper, mid-80s, it's 10 inches of sweep regularly. He throws it to both lefties and righties, which I like to see. He's throwing it down to the back foot of lefties, just devastating them, running it away from righties. Curveball, big spinning pitch. It does get sweeps. It's too plain. It generates a ton of whiffs. And even this year, he added a two-seamer to throw down in the zone, getting ground balls. So when he wasn't missing bats, he was keeping the ball on the ground. The arsenal is really impressive. The strike throwing is top tier. There's a really good starting pitcher in here with Jose Corniel of the Texas Rangers, and I don't think anybody's in on him at all. Like, he's not talked about much in any circle, and I'm curious, like, where some of the bigger outlets have him. I'm just, like, curious to look at, like, Baseball America and see where they have Corniel. They have him 18th in the system. Yeah, that's not bad, but I just really believe in this profile and think that in a good system, he just gets overlooked. But he's somebody that I'm investing pretty heavily in, and I think you should too, because he's going to break out even more, or he already broke out, but he will be much more well-known in 2024.
Yeah, that's a really viable strategy too that I love using myself, is going after these guys that are overlooked because of so many other good names in the system. It's a good way to find guys that are, you know, under, like, Will Warren was perfect example of that with the Yankees. Everyone was talking about Drew Thorpe, Chase Hampton, etc. Obviously, then Jason on the hitting side and others, guys like that just fly under the radar. And I think that's a really great strategy to use. And you can find a lot of good hidden gems, like you were just saying. Like that a lot. I'm going over to the National League West for my next one. Just a newly acquired National League West pitcher in Jackson Ferris, came over from the Cubs in that Michael Busch trade. And Ferris was a guy that I was already intrigued by. In the Cubs system is fine. I'm not saying it's a bad org, but when someone with the stuff that Jackson Ferris has gets into an organization like the Los Angeles Dodgers, it just creates so – it gives me the tingles. It gives me those warm, tingly feelings because the upside is so high. And now hopefully if they're able to allow him to harness his command and control, help him with that – that's really the kind of the red flag, so to speak, in Ferris's profile. You know, if that is to curb and get better, we're looking at a high-end pitcher. Another projectable lefty. I have a lot of those guys on this episode. 6'4", Celestial projection left on that frame. Already has a fastball. Now it's in the 94-95 range with really good action up in the zone and two really good breaking balls as well. Like a mid, low to mid 70s curve, plenty of depth, upper 70s, low 80s slider. And even the changeup, even though that's his kind of fourth offering, that's in the mid 80s. So he really throws in four different velocity bands, which is really nice to see. And as you saw at times last year for low A Myrtle Beach, and he was overpowering at times. He finished with a 3.38 ERA in 18 starts and had 77 strikeouts in 56 innings. And only gave up 35 hits and one home run in those 56 innings. The K rate last year in those 56 innings was 32.5%. But unfortunately, 33 walks, which is a 14% walk rate. Again, that is the red flag here that needs to be improved upon. But if the Dodgers can get him down even to like that 10% range, which is livable when you have the stuff Jackson Ferris has, he's got a really jump up rankings this year. I think he's already being slept on a little bit And I'm surprised he's not ranked higher from what I've seen in other rankings. And I think I might even be too low on him, especially if he's able to make gains in that in the command and control departments. This could be a guy that's going to be, I don't know about a tier one pitching prospect, but definitely could get up in like that tier two range where we're talking about guys like Waldrip, Mizorowski, Robbie Snelling, those types right now. I think that could happen by the end of 2024 if everything goes well. And again, the Dodgers love that move. I'm so glad he got into that org. So yeah, I'm trying to get as much Jackson Ferris stock as I can right now. Chris, who is your last guy to round out year five on this show?
Here we go with another NL Central and Pittsburgh Pirate. It is Thomas Harrington. Harrington's path as a pitcher, as a baseball player, has been quite unique and fun to watch. He did not pitch until his junior year of high school. He walked on at Campbell, and then he was drafted 36th overall in the 2022 draft. He has improved significantly year over year as a pitcher. He threw 127 innings, which is huge for a minor leaguer. We think about innings numbers, and that's a very good number for somebody in the minors. And during that those 127 innings, a 3.53 ERA, 146 strikeouts, really good command. There's a consistent thing here. Strike thrower, 67% strikes. He walked just 7.5% of batters this year. So the command control are really good. From the arsenal standpoint, the fastball sits low to mid-90s, but he did average 17 inches of IVB on that pitch, 10 inches of horizontal. And the sinker, so he mixes both pitches. The sinker gets a nice running life to it. Up with the fastball, down with the sinker, or up with the four-seam, excuse me, down with the sinker. So you like to see that. The slider averaged nearly 2,800 RPM of spin, so it's a very high spinning pitch, generates a ton of sweeping action. And in fact, it averaged 16 inches of sweep. So like big boy movement there with the slider. The changeup, upper 80s. It doesn't have a ton of velocity separation. You want to see a little more velo separation between it and the fastball, 6 miles an hour. So I hope that the fastball will tick up a few notches and we'll see, but it did have, you look at the separation between the changeup and slider, about 30 inches between the two of horizontal. So that's really good. I think there's just such a high floor arm here with Thomas Harrington that he's just the kind of profile that you want to bet on, continues to rise. He's got a starter's frame. He's very athletic. He throws strikes and has a good arsenal. He just does everything really well. And like Altoona's rotation to start the year is going to be absolutely insane. If Skeens does start in AA, it'll have Paul Skeens, Bubba Chandler, Anthony Solometo, Thomas Harrington, like maybe Braxton Ashcraft. And that's absolutely insane. That'll be the best rotation in the minor leagues if all that comes to fruition. But we'll see how that plays out. Unfortunately, Altoona is not close to me at all, but that will be a fun rotation. And yeah, there's a lot of talent, a lot of good development that Pittsburgh's done with these minor league arms. So I obviously love that system. And I love investing in Thomas Harrington too, because he's not really talked about as much as he should be.
Yeah, I feel like that's the case with a lot of these Pittsburgh guys. And I've said that before. I feel like there's so many guys in this system throughout major leagues, minor leagues, hitters, pitchers, just get undervalued. And unfortunately, I'm looking through Altoona's schedule right now. They do play Portland, but in late May. I got excited for a second, but it's at home, not here in Portland. I'm still trying to see if they come either here or to New Hampshire, which is like a two-hour drive for me. June, no. July, no. They come to Somerset, New Jersey, but I'm not driving 8 hours. Okay, they do come to Portland, but not until the second week of August. So who knows if any of those guys are still there at that point. That kind of stinks. But yeah, definitely some fun names in this Pittsburgh Pirates system right now. I'm going to end with a Kansas City Royals prospect. And that's the biggest red flag in this person's profile right now, is the fact that he is in the Kansas City Royals organization. Like, I'd be lying if I said I'm not at least somewhat concerned by their very poor track record of developing, you know, everybody for the most part. Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. is the massive exception here, but especially on the pitching side, all of their pitchers that they drafted early just haven't worked, especially lately. Asa Lacy completely fell off. And still a little too early to say that same thing about guys like Ben Caderna and Mazzucato, but not a great track record, let's just say that. But Blake Walters is one of my favorite FYPD targets this year. There's a lot of fun upside guys on the mound in the middle rounds of FYPDs. You know, Charlie Soto is another example who I'm really high on from the Twins org. But Blake Walters is definitely one that I'm trying to get a lot of shares of, and just cross my fingers that he doesn't get screwed up, so to speak, by the Royals, because upside is absolutely there. Now, this is a very strong 6'4" frame. Like, there was a video that came out a few days ago, maybe a week ago, I forget when it was, recently, about him touching 100. Yeah, and you just look at the frame of Blake Walters, like those legs especially, like he has tree trunk legs. Like, this is all good. Now, this is a very strong 6'4 frame. Maybe could still fill it out a bit more. Obviously, he's still very young, but not like super projectable like somebody like Lil Wayne or the guys I've already talked about. But he still has some room to add maybe 10, 15 pounds of muscle. But again, even if he doesn't, this is already a very strong frame throughout, especially in the lower half. Very clean delivery, too. And ton of extension in his delivery, which is great to see. Three pitch mix, fastball, slider, changeup. Again, as is the case with most of these guys, younger guys, the changeup is a bit behind. I think that's like a common thing you'll see often, where the changeups are, you know, behind the fastball or and their breaking pitches, which isn't that uncommon. Changeup's definitely more of a feel pitch, but fastball slider combination is already very good. Sliders in the mid 80s, plenty of break on that, and a high spin rate as well. And you're looking at, again, he's already touching 100. He's not going to sit there, obviously, but this guy could sit mid-90s, touching triple digits with maybe regularity moving forward. And if he's able to develop that changeup a bit, and command and control, I think, is no real issues there. You know, obviously, we haven't seen him in game action in the minor leagues yet. They didn't have him pitch after the draft, so we'll have to see on that. But many that had seen him pre-draft, that was never really a red flag that was brought up a lot with him. So a lot of upside here. Let's just hope that Kansas City doesn't stunt his growth, because the upside is maybe even a number two starter. That's what we're looking at here with Blake Walters. But let's get to round out the show. So again, my five were Noble Meyer, Daniel Espino, Henry Lane, Jackson Ferris, Blake Walters. Chris's five, Bubba Chandler, Chase Petty, Ty Floyd, Jose Cornell, and Thomas Harrington. So 10 names to go out and target in your dynasty leagues that all have a good chance of rising and breaking today. Make sure to check out our personal platforms again, dynasty.gut.com, toolshiftfantasy.com, and all the great stuff going on over at Roto Baller. And we'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.